Another episode of the On Record podcast this week. Me and Luke are joined this week by Kobe. Say yo, Kobe.
Yo, nice to meet you.
Cool. Yeah, this week, obviously, there's not too much to talk about again, obviously, as there is another lockdown, but we do have Kobe talking about a little bit maybe his uni experience right now, along with obviously the election results and a few other topics that have been hot on social media. Yeah, so let's jump straight into that. Yeah, Kobe, how are things right now? How are things for you?
Well, I should probably start off by saying where I am. So I'm in Stoke-on-Trent, and I think we're on tier two. I know they have the three-tier system at the moment. I'm pretty sure we're on tier two. So it's not the worst, but it's not the best. To be honest with you guys, during this whole pandemic, lifestyle hasn't changed too much. I feel like people still go out to the park as much. People might not hang around in big groups as much, but they're still socializing. I still see my friends just as frequently as I saw them before. So I feel like lockdown hasn't had that big of an effect on things outside of uni. But when it comes to university, there has been a big impact.
Yeah, nice. Because I saw, obviously, you know, yeah. Manchester Uni on social media. In the uni halls, there's been quite a lot where they put fences around their halls. So I thought maybe that was kind of what they were doing. Not everywhere, but they're kind of following that and not really letting uni students kind of out where they live. But I'm not sure if you live in halls or in a house.
What?
Fortunately, I don't live in halls. I've now got my share a house with another housemate of mine. So I don't live in halls. I don't know the current situation is at the halls of my uni, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was something similar in place, to be honest with you.
That's mad.
Yeah. I think that Manchester thing's a bit mad, just because they were sleeping, and when they woke up, they found the barriers there. And then the uni said, that's what they were saying. Like, they woke up in the morning and just found like they had been caged in. And then the uni apparently said, like, oh, it wasn't to keep you guys in; it was to stop people coming, into your halls. Which obviously it works both ways, isn't it? Like, if you stop people coming into the halls, you're also leaving the halls.
They've taken them down, though.
Yeah, I think that's it, mad. Like, I would hope no other uni's taken like that extreme measure.
Yeah,
I saw them. But I think they took them down because, like, the kids already pushed them down. You mean they realized, like,
this year.
I think they got backlash online, but
the way they're stuck in the halls.
Yeah, I think that's. To be fair, like I said, like unless I was in like your position, Kobe, where I'd already started uni, and I was literally just carrying on through, I wouldn't have gone to uni this year. Which obviously is a bit hard because obviously that would then make it a bit harder for you next year. But obviously, we did we didn't even do any like weeks in quarantine at uni. But like you know when they started shutting down uni, did it online. Yeah, we got sent home basically, and I found that like, I just found it hard because the online teaching was like. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know about you, but mine was shocking. Like, I had a teacher that hadn't teach us from March until our exam in June, and her excuse was her Wi-Fi wasn't working, which was like, that's a bit mad, isn't it? Because you're sending me emails, but your Wi-Fi's not working.
Yeah, pretty much all of it.
How do you think it's working for you? Like, I'm guessing most of your courses are online at the moment.
It's difficult because I feel as though the way I revise, I tend to do a lot of reading, watch a lot of videos by myself. That's how I do most of my learning anyway. So, online lectures, like in person lectures, it wasn't the most important thing for me. Sorry. But what I've noticed is that it makes it harder for group learning. So a lot of the time I go after my lectures and I go in the library with one or two of my classmates, you know,
you
might understand something or I might not understand something. You kind of run it back and you help each other. That doesn't seem to be happening anymore, and where one of us doesn't know, all of us don't know, and that's a big problem.
That's mad.
I think we found that as well, to be fair, because like, obviously it was a bit easier for us because we had already been assigned our classes. So we spent like, what, since September to maybe like March with probably some people similar. So you know who was in your classes. So obviously you could literally just go off and make a group chat. But again, it wasn't like as easy because I'm a bit like you where I'd go off, if I finish uni, I'd go off with my friends and just try and like figure it out. But yeah, like when we was at home, it was a bit, obviously you were just relying on like whatever social media or WhatsApp, whatever you could find to do it, which... But again, wasn't that reliable? Because obviously, I don't know about you, but I had people with different time zones. That was a bit, it just wasn't
obviously,
easy.
As you said,
no, it wasn't life or death. But I think it's just because we had the chance to already, because most of the time when you go to a class, you start group like, chat anyways for help. So we really have those
you
set
change
up.
Change like, semester groups and every term, every semester. Sorry, so your classes do kind of change when you do like new units and stuff like that. So it's we went into lockdown maybe what March, so it was about fair enough. Actually, it was about maybe a month and a half of being in our new group. So you're right to be honest.
So we had like 2 months.
It did affect obviously being able to understand certain topics, because one of my lecturers, they just didn't reply to emails, didn't really do any kind of like live lectures. So understanding the actual topic was pretty much impossible. You had to just ring it and see what you got.
Yeah, and I think, again, like for us, like all of us here, we spent a year anyway, so we might know people that are doing the same course. They might not be in our seminar or like your lectures, but they might have been on the same unit, if that makes sense. But imagine you're a fresher, you don't know anyone. All the people you know are the people that's in your halls, because like technically they weren't allowed to go out anyways in club and like meet new people or really meet their classmates in person. So like, say for instance, I just don't understand how they're meant to make those groups and friends. So obviously, really think you're relying. That's why personally I wouldn't have gone to uni this year, just because I think, especially first year, like I know it's not a write-off, but that's where you're making meeting loads of new people. It's your first time away from home. I wouldn't want to be like trapped in my room. Say for instance, you're in a house with people you don't like, because often you get put in houses with people you don't like. Like I had one person I didn't like in my house.
Do you know, like seeing,
but
like,
imagine if I was stuck with them like day in day out. Like, be like hell for me.
For Kobe as well, I'm sure. Obviously, if you were in halls your first year, like, are you allowed out of your like flat, or do you know what I mean? You're allowed to like interact with other flats on your floor or in the same building, or
I don't think they were. I remember still. No, because I remember when my cousin went this year, and I think she was saying to me, like, it's the only people you're allowed to meet up with are the people in your, like, realistically, your, like, student house is meant to be, like, your, you know, you say, like, you're allowed a family of six. That's what it's meant to be. But then, obviously, that's never going to get stuck to, because, in our halls in Purbeck, there weren't really many cameras. You could literally just run between each other's flats and stuff. That's 100% what they're going to do. Like, there's no way you can stop that. Like, one security guard is going to stop.
Definitely still doing what they want. Like, maybe, like, if there's too much noise, you can check what you're doing. But other than that, you can probably get away with it, to be honest. But it is a bit of a situation. Like, so, Kobe, what are you in your final year?
So I'm in my second year.
Yeah, true.
Hopefully, by next year, we're out of this, because, you don't want to be missing out on the uni experience in your final year as well as your second. That is very key.
Final year. To be fair, though, I would say like second year and final year were completely different to first year. Like second year, you do go out a bit more, but again, for us, I think because we had to find placement. Do you have to do placement as well? Okay, yeah. So we had to find a placement. So I think, again, like I think at the beginning that restricted me a bit, because obviously I was doing the interviews and stuff. But I wouldn't say you missed much. I wouldn't say like for you, I wouldn't, don't think well, you missed much, because you obviously had your whole first year where you were, you didn't really, did you?
Now. So I've had
because you went slot halfway through.
Just to meet friends and stuff. So I feel like from my experience, it's not been all that bad, but definitely for first, maybe for people that only started university last year, definitely.
They're definitely going to be like feeling they missed out something, which I think will probably have like an effect on final year as well for them, because say for instance they're trying to catch up with the stuff they've missed out.
Doing that,
like final year was like, it wasn't hard, but it wasn't easy.
It was really
hard. I think the hardest part is probably your dissertation.
Like, I think my way I ended my was quite it was more kind of, you know, obviously you can go and see your tutor to ask about things. I think when I wasn't able to do that, there were certain things I could have done better, but I couldn't really access her in that way, if you get what I mean, because obviously I was at home. So I feel like my diss grade, it was still good, but it suffered because I think it could have been better, because obviously I would have had access to my diss tutor, which would be able to give me some more.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I think she even said to me, like, she thought she marked something, but she hadn't. And, like, she was adamant that she wouldn't do it again. But I think I would have been able to.
Oh, yeah, yours was proper strict, though, wasn't it? Like, I think that's weird. I think you need to find a way to stop that, because I don't know about your uni, but our uni, Kobe, like, you basically just got assigned a disc tutor. Like, you weren't allowed. Well, I think there's, I know one person that, like, put an input and said, oh, I want this person for disc tutor. But, like, they just assign you a disc tutor. That person marks it. They're, like, your first marker. And they give someone, like, else your second marker. So, obviously, if the first marker doesn't like it and they're the person that's been telling you, like, what's changed, you basically fucked up your whole grade already. I think that's what happened for me as well. I think, what did I get? I think I got, like, 62. But then there was my friend who basically did the same thing as me. But I just did mine on race and she did hers on, like, gender. Like, we did similar things and she got, like, 76. Like, she did amazing. And then mine was just like, yeah, I didn't like how you did this. There was stuff that he told me to change that in the end, in the comments. He was like, oh, yeah, I don't think you explained this enough. And I was like, but when I showed you, it was fine. But, like, yours was really strict with you. She was like, yeah, mine didn't look at mine once. I did read it. Like, if I sent him it, he was like, cool, I'll read it. But, like, it wouldn't be helpful comments. It would be like, he'll pick up stuff like, oh, you spelled, like, one word wrong. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll just proofread it next time.
Yeah, I do.
He wouldn't, like, tell me questions I'd be asking. Like, oh, is the kind of right thing you want me to do?
What's the situation, Kobe, with, like, assignments and exams? Are they all cool or is it a big change?
Yeah.
So I do a science course. I do biology. And a large part of us, of course, naturally is practical.
Yeah.
And that part that's really suffering the most. Because from what I understand, we would have been in once or twice a week doing practicals. And we're not frequently anymore. Yeah. And it's that kind of skill basis. You just can't really learn design. You need to be there with the microscopes, with all the other equipment to learn how to
do it.
Especially because if you're looking at industry, when we go to in 2 years' time, or just under 2 years' time, we're going to be expected to have mastered all of these skills and to know how to use equipment. And we just aren't getting the time. It's just not possible at the moment. I think that's true. Probably the biggest infringement that we're facing at the moment in time.
So how are they going about that then? Are they like having your, say for instance, your lecturer on a Zoom call showing you what you should be doing, or like are they just completely missing practicals out in
person? I imagine it's the most essential practicals we're still having in person.
Yeah.
There's like a few online classes you can do where you can do like digital practicals.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's difficult to explain, but essentially they'll show you step by step how the thing's supposed to go. I still feel as though it's not as informative as if you had the actual equipment in front of you and you could use it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing. And then in other instances, we will just get, as you alluded to earlier, the lecturer just showing us through a Zoom call or whatever medium, this is how you do X, Y, and Z, and we'll just take notes and try and make it understand from that. So a bit of a mixed bag, but...
Yeah. So you said, I don't think anyone's really properly thought about like the effects other than uni students on like what's going to happen with uni students. Because obviously, like you said, like you're not going to have the same practical skills as someone that probably graduated in our year. But say, for instance, the people like the year above you that's graduating next year, they're going to be competing against the people that were in our year with all those practical skills that they might have missed out on this year. Because obviously, we had most of the chances. But yeah, so I think, I don't think anyone else like properly looks at that. Because even when we were at uni and all side, I was saying it to my family, but I was like, oh, it's a bit unfair to say, for instance, I don't get like a job this year. I'm then going against the people from next year, which you could argue I have a better advantage because I would probably have spent a year in industry already. And if I wanted to do a grad scheme, they're probably going to be like, oh, you can start straight away if you really wanted to. So I think, I don't think anyone's looked at like the disadvantages for the students that have just graduated and students that are still like in the next couple of years about to graduate. Like you said, because I never really thought about like the sciences, like how they're going to be able to do like their practical stuff.
Before we kind of move into like the next kind of what topics we're going to talk about, what would you say, Kobe, could the government do obviously to make it easier for students right now?
Well, that is a difficult question to answer, to be honest, because I feel like there's so many factors that affect what decisions they have to make. The one thing they could do, kind of a different angle on this, I think something needs to be done for student loan debt. Mm. I don't think that it's fair that we have to pay the same amount. And I don't know how much you guys pay, but I'm paying 9.25K.
Mm.
And I don't feel as though it's fair that I have to pay the same amount when I'm not receiving the same services.
Yeah.
I just don't think that makes sense. And it's a big debt, you know. It's going to be just under 30K for just the 3 years of my degree. So I feel like that should be looked into.
Now, it's subsided a little bit, at least 9K a year for to be in your room and doing
something.
Lectures is not right, basically. Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
That's mad.
I don't know. Maybe unis, the government needs to put pressure up, which they probably wouldn't, but I don't know, trying to change, 100%. I guess, the way they do, or kind of, I don't know, either make it easier or subside kind of the amount of money paying, because it's not really fair. And obviously, people's mental health is suffering right now, as well as obviously just in general, it's making it a lot harder for people to simply complete university. So it's just a little bit mad. Yeah. Obviously, speaking on governments, what do you guys think of the actual results?
To be honest, like, the thing with the US election, it proper annoyed me because obviously it was all over our Twitter. But I don't think I'm surprised with the results. Like, I mean, that's what I would have hoped for. Like, I would have hoped you lot have seen how, like, Trump was working for the last 4 years and thought, like, oh, yeah, we don't need that again. However, I don't think that's what they saw, because I saw it said, like, even more people voted for Trump this year. It's just obviously because more people in general came out and voted. Like, the younger people voted, like, more likely to vote Democrat.
I think 4 or 5.
Like, didn't get in. I don't know.
Count, but Biden's won by... Yeah, a decent amount. Trump's far behind. Well, not quite far behind, but far enough. But it's just, I think with Biden, obviously, I think it's going to be probably a similar
way
thing.
Should be, anyway.
In terms of the way the country runs, but obviously he's just more, maybe possibly more subtle. Maybe he's less outspoken in the way that Trump is. I think he'll keep the peace a little bit better. So for example, with like, see the George, is it George Floyd?
Yeah,
with his situation, I think Biden would have just calmed the situation down, even though he probably would have lied about it and not really done that much long term. I don't think he would have kind of stirred it up in the way that Trump did, where we saw the amount of violence on the street, the police and protesters. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, you know. I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing on the social side of the USA are to do with the character of Donald Trump and the way that he handles himself. I don't think it's necessarily to do with policies or laws that are being put in place. I think it's very much so his personality and his passion for tweeting and how that's affecting when they're seeing the leader of their country say things online, it's affecting their beliefs and, oh, he thinks that way. Well, I can think this way. I think that's had a very negative effect on the social side of the USA.
No, definitely, because, as I said, I think, obviously, Biden, I think the way that the US is run, I don't think it will really change as well. But I think, obviously, seeing someone that is so outspoken and really is basically a white supremacist and is tweeting and speaking that way and refusing to kind of hold those people to account, that side of America, I do think, he's stirred that up and he's added fuel to the fire and he's kind of segregated the country in terms of race. Definitely a lot more in the last 4 years, so it's going to take another 4 years now to kind of try and repair that to an extent.
Do you know what? I wouldn't say he even separated the country, because I think those divides were clearly there. I just think he, like people say, he made people more confident to come out of like the racist more confident to come out of like in hiding essentially to come out and say these stuff. I wouldn't say he even made a bigger split. I think he just made people more confident and brought it to the limelight, because obviously those views were already there before Trump put them in your mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. The country is built on social racial hierarchy kind of economic hierarchy as well. But definitely, it was already there. But I think what Kobe kind of said as well. He's given people the confidence to talk on things that as you said as well, kind of said the same thing in different words. But he's given people the confidence to speak on things they would not have spoken on before. And people,
100%.
For some reason, have that. Yeah, they're saying it with their chest now, where maybe before they weren't. The thing that worries me more, though, is obviously the way that I think Biden, the first thing he needs to do is do something about the police, to be honest, because I think that's really, that's probably a question.
Do you think he will? I don't think he will. I don't think he will personally, but.
Well, nothing to kind of improve the situation.
No, I don't think he would. Realistically, because you say, for instance, he was vice president under Obama. Like, I say this all the time. Like, realistically, all this stuff happened under Obama as well. Joe Biden was still under him, that he can he had some influence as a vice president. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't change under Obama. It hasn't changed since, like, under anyone. Do you know what I mean? So I think, like, yeah, it's nice to hope that Joe Biden would do something about it, but I don't think, realistically, I feel I think if that's your expectation, I think you're going to be like severely shocked, just because I think he had 8 years under Obama, like being his vice president, and nothing drastically changed. Nothing changed under Trump. I would be surprised if it changed under him. Like, he might surprise us all, but yeah, I think it's an unrealistic like view at the moment.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I think, as I said, I think he'll calm kind of the divisions down. There will still be the divisions because it's such a big country and different areas, obviously predominantly black or predominantly white or different, and obviously different kind of classes. But I think he'll calm it down in terms of how, like, they, as Kobe said, people may not be as outspoken. He might, initially kind of go a bit harder on people that are that outspoken and cut them down a little bit more just to kind of please the masses, obviously hit the people that voted for him. And then when it all goes away, then it'll just go back to
Do you not think that would have just happened naturally under anyone other than Trump? Like any other Democrat, that would just happen naturally. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not saying like Joe Biden's this amazing.
No, I'm saying, but
I think he's just.
You were saying like, do you think he'll reform the police? And I don't think he'll do much to reform. Like, I mean, I'd hope, like I said, but I think all that will happen like straight away will just be like what would naturally have occurred with anyone other than Trump.
I think that's what a lot of people this election they decided, obviously it's not because they love Joe Biden, it's because they just hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It was just to get him out, and which is the best.
I feel like it'll be like most elections though in most countries. Like there's loads of things you don't like about the person you vote for anyways, but you like more than the person that got through. I mean, like I didn't vote Conservatives because I don't like Boris Johnson, but I'm sure there's loads of things that Jeremy Corbyn was saying that I just didn't agree with. But
I think a lot of people, so for example, in the latest election in this country, I think I voted Green Party just because I thought, well, I know Labour aren't going to win in my area. And I know Conservatives have pretty much taken it. So I thought I might as well just vote for something that in my area might make a little bit of a difference. But obviously in that country, if I was in the US, I wouldn't vote for whatever their equivalent of the Green Party is or another smaller party in my area or something like that. I'd vote for Biden simply because get Trump. Do you know what I mean? It's a more... But it's what's going on?
Yeah, you would tactical with votes.
Yeah, rather than tactical, I'd kind of just go with... Even though I don't particularly like either of them, I'd vote for a bigger party simply to get them up.
Yeah, that's what I think I would do here as well, though. Like, if I don't like the Conservatives, even if I didn't align with like whoever was their next like biggest leader to take the position, I would vote for them just because I probably hate them less than I hate the Conservatives. If that makes sense. Like, if you want someone out, you've got to do some like sometimes you've got to be tactical in it. But in America, I think it's a bit weird. Like, they only really have two main parties, which I suppose you can't kind of
do here. West two.
Yeah, I think that was a waste. I don't know.
Big them up.
I don't know about Kanye West.
I don't think his wife voted for him, to be honest.
Would you? I'm gonna lie, I'd get home and tell you I did, but I wouldn't have voted for you.
Your own family is not gonna vote for you. Come on.
What would you, if I was Kim Kardashian, do you think I'd be voting for Kanye West?
Do you know how peak that would be? You come home and your wife has not.
That's calm, isn't it?
That's deep.
I saw somewhere, I think it was one of the African nations, it was like this man had just lost, like he put himself forward a bit like Kanye did, and he only got like six, like I think it was like four votes, but he had six people in his family. That would be me. I wouldn't be voting for you. I'd come to the next party, I didn't vote for you. I'm not gonna lie.
That's why though? Would you not back your boy? You know he's not gonna win. Just give him a little bit of like confidence.
Yeah, but say for instance, everyone gave him that confidence, and he actually got through. I'd be pissed. If I was Kim Kardashian, I'd be pissed. Yeah, I'd be like, nah. She probably didn't want to be the fucking first lady, innit? So. Why would you vote for you don't want
Kim Kardashian is the first lady? That'd be crazy.
I mean,
that's right, you know, because she's like an influencer, so she'd probably just chat bare shit and people would listen.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought Kanye would have got a bit more than 60,000 votes, isn't it? But,
that's okay. Yeah, glad, that's not too bad.
I'm glad only 60,000 people waste their time with him, innit?
It's all right. 60,000 to start. Maybe 2024 will be his year.
If you're going to do it properly, innit, like Trump did, like. Let me chuck your name in the hat last minute. But
did you see the podcast about it? Like he said he was like in the shower or something one day, and like something came to his mind, and he thought, "Now I'm gonna be the next president."
This is why I said I wouldn't vote for him, innit? How do you sit in the shower and think, "Yeah, come on, then"?
He's not, stable mentally, and that he can't be a president.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I wouldn't vote for him, innit? Just because things like that. You don't just have before the shower think, yeah, I'm going to be the next president. Like, I'm going to have a shower in a minute and be like, oh, yeah, let me be the prime minister. Just put my name forward. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like Trump and Boris Johnson both are probably people that are no more intelligent than Kanye West, to be honest. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I'm not voting on the intelligence. I'm just thinking, like, the way he come about it. Do you know what I mean? I would hope there's a bit more thought into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, speaking of people that are crazy, though, obviously.
Boris is different than Trump and Kanye West is that Boris was actually a politician before, whereas Trump not politicians. And then overnight, suddenly now you're running for the head of state in your country. And that's a bit of a mad U-turn career-wise.
Yeah, that is true. I never actually thought of it that way. So, yeah, that is true, to be fair. Like, Boris, you can say what you like, but he was a prime minister. And to be fair, he was, like, mayor of London, so he did have some, like, huge responsibilities.
Yeah.
Before.
That's
like, don't get me wrong, being a businessman, I suppose, is a huge responsibility, but it's not the same as being a politician, do you know what
I mean? So. Obviously, the knowledge you'd have and, kind of, and the weight and the industry or the job you're in would be completely different. I don't really understand. I think in the US, it's completely different, though, the way people get into politics and that kind of thing, but it is, I guess, in a way similar as well, because you probably have close-knit groups that kind of just fund each other and donate and obviously put their friends in powerful positions, where Boris probably benefited from that, from who he went to school with and who his family is, who his father is, that kind of thing. But
I was going to say, so what do you guys think of Kamala Harris? I think that's her name, or Kamala. I don't know how you guys say that name. What do you think of the vice president? Like, obviously being the first female, she's of mixed heritage. What do you guys think of that?
I don't know too much about her, but I know that I saw everyone, obviously, half of Twitter, or my Twitter anyway, are congratulating her, and the other half are saying she's not for people of minority groups. She's put a lot of black men in prison. Stuff like that, and she's not really for us. So I don't know how to feel, because I'm not educated enough to speak on her and who she is. But
I mean, like, I suppose even if you don't know, like, what she's doing, I mean, like, what do you think of, like, the representation for, I suppose, mixed people, like black? Apparently she's half Indian as well. Like, what do you think? Do you think that's, like,
nah, that's sick? Yeah. That? It's always good to see yourself in powerful positions. Definitely.
Yeah,
I think. Thing about that as well, and I might be a bit of a reach to say this, but she's not only the first female vice president, she's also the first vice president of color. And I think it's an important thing, because it's a situation where it's someone of color who's reached that goal before someone of color. I think it's equally as powerful as what Obama did in that respect. Obama
was the
first president, but she was the first female vice president, and she so happened to be of a minority background. I think that's very empowering because of that. If we had had a previous female vice president that was white, for instance, and then we had Harris, I think it would still feel. But I think the fact that she's walked in here from a minority background and achieved something that no white woman ever achieved in the history of the USA.
Yeah,
that is obviously.
I never thought of it like that. I think, that has a whole new tone to it, because obviously I just saw it as, like, obviously I knew she was the first female vice president, but I never realised, like, she's done what, like, essentially no other white woman could.
Yeah, 100%, Lassen. It's an amazing achievement. And I would hope, obviously, with what she's done, it makes a difference to people that look like her. On Biden's manifesto, anyway, it does say, obviously, he wants to kind of make things fairer for minority groups, and obviously... Latinos in the country. So I don't know, maybe that's been influenced by her. I don't know if that's what he thinks, what he believes will make.
I mean, because I don't actually know how much power a vice president has, because obviously we had Michelle Obama, who was, like, the first lady. But I think, like you said, her being, like, Harris being the vice president, like, she's the person that's, like, got to power. Like, she's got power from being, like, her position, not just being the first lady. Like, because I feel like Michelle Obama only had influence, but Harris has, like, power. I would hope that, like, she'd be able to, like, heavily influence, like, a lot of Joe Biden's decisions. And obviously that she will do right by her people as well as, like, just everyone in general, if that makes sense. Like, females, people of colour.
Yeah, I mean, what's her name, Priti Patel in this country, who doesn't really do a lot for the people. So I wouldn't get too excited over it, but I do
hear what Kobe was saying.
I do hear what Kobe is saying, and it is very empowering. It's an amazing achievement. Yeah. And definitely something that should be celebrated. Whoever you believe she is, we'd obviously hope that obviously seeing yourself, seeing that representation of yourself in powerful places and influential places, that will definitely make a difference to young women that are of minority, in minority groups, and also obviously young men too. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, like you said, like even Preeti Patel though, like we might not agree with anything she's saying, but like for an Asian girl out there, they've realised that they can make that position, if that makes sense. So like even if you don't, like you said, like even if you don't like align with what they're talking about, just seeing someone in that power that looks like you should like motivate you.
Now obviously
you hope her policies align with what you're saying, but even if they don't, like you've seen that you can get to that position. As long as you've seen someone that looks like you at a position, you know it's possible. If that makes sense. Like every black boy now knows that they can be the president of the United States. So does every black female know that they can get to that level as well. They even know that even if they can't get to that level, they could be vice president now. Do you know what I mean? Like females, it's opened up so many doors that even regardless of what they align with, even if you don't agree with it, you know that you can now get that, to that position and make the change that you want.
Yeah.
So I think it's, like, from the beginning, like it's powerful in the sense that now every woman, regardless of their race, knows that they can get to that position. And that's like the first time that it's ever happened in America. And it's just like you said, just so happens that she's female and a person of color. But she's opened the door for everyone now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we'd hope it can happen more often now as well. It's obviously the representation in more powerful positions in general. They're quite rare and they're not seen too often. So definitely, because obviously in my dissertation, I did basically based around the overrepresentation of black male athletes and kind of how that would obviously affect younger black males in the way that they believe what they can do. On this topic, it is important to see representation in all areas of life, not just in sport, because I think a lot of the time we are kind of just pushed to think we can only do certain things. So yeah, as Kobe said, it's very empowering, obviously, to see different kinds of people in power.
Yeah. I think that, like, you know, you were saying, like, people were saying, like, she put a lot of black people away. I've seen quite a lot of black people now saying, like, even though she did, like, what do you expect? It was her paycheck, essentially. Like, that's what she was paid to do. Do you know what I mean? So I think that was just, like, ammunition at the moment to try and stop Biden winning or, like, stop her getting into that position. I don't think that they're going to carry that on, to be honest. Because, recently, when you look at it, like, there's lawyers that get murderers off every day. Like that's literally just how they make their money.
I don't know if she was like actually going out to kind of try and be that woman that put black men away. I don't know what she's done. Well,
I think she was the attorney general from California. So I think like I'm guessing she's the kind of person that will like pick what level of crime you get, like if you get the death penalty or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's her job. Like that was her job, do you know what I mean? Like yeah, she might not have went about it right away, but there's a lot of things everyone does for a paycheck that you might not 100% wholeheartedly agree with yourself in your personal life. So, I don't think, like I said, hopefully that won't carry on just because, that's what she did for a paycheck, which obviously it could be questionable, but like I said, a lot of us do stuff that probably questionable.
I agree with you, and I think on a broader basis, I don't think there really is a politician alive that any of us look at and we're like, right, he's the guy, I want to be just like this guy. I think they're all cool, if not in their careers and in their private lives, and there's holes we can poke in all of them. So I think it's important to take what you can, but try not to desire too much. Like I feel like Obama gets a lot of backlash for not necessarily doing so much for the black community, but I feel as though, you know, are you expecting someone that is president of the United States to then turn around and make all these big changes? Is that really what you're expecting? I don't know. Maybe you have too high hopes.
No, that makes sense. Be realistic about obviously what you want to get out of this, because they've only got so much power. As much as you think they've got that power, they really don't. So I think be realistic about what you expect from them to be.
Yeah,
basically with that. Now speaking on though, like kind of minority groups and that kind of thing. Yeah, what do you guys think of? Obviously, I don't know, Kobe. Have you got Twitter?
I do, but I'm very inactive on Twitter. I'm
like, okay, so basically, a lot of the time, there's a frequent argument and just ridiculousness that goes on Twitter, which is basically this African versus Caribbean Twitter, where they're just arguing about what's what and kind of just taking digs at each other. And recently, we've had... I don't even know. Where is she from, Luke? I can't remember who the initial person that tweeted about it was.
I think she was based in Jamaican because she had those two flags in her bio, innit? But let's say she's Jamaican because we're not going to claim that one. I'm not claiming that. But yeah, she basically... what was the food, Henry? It was a Nigerian food, but I can't remember what it was.
Mala, I think maybe. Yeah.
Wait, you're half Nigerian, Bajan, aren't you?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah. So... I suppose it's interesting to get your point then, because obviously this girl basically just said she saw like Amala and was like, oh, I'm glad I'm Caribbean because I don't have to eat this food. What would be your perspective on that? Because like people like jumped off and was like, no, that's so rude. Like one person basically said, oh, Caribbean people used it as like being from the Caribbean as like to better themselves from being African. Like they're the better blacks, if that makes sense. What was your perspective? Because obviously you're mixed, so you basically fall in both categories.
Like you mentioned previously, I'm mixed heritage in that sense. So obviously my parents are never going to get into those type of arguments. So I wouldn't see it, my family, my background. But going to school,
yeah,
see a lot of that. You know, the typical arguments: what's better, jollof rice or rice and peas? It's always plantain or plantain. Which one do you say?
Yeah.
But I kind of viewed it as a nuanced thing. If I'm honest, I feel as though.
Yeah.
Especially in the last 10 years, like the African and the Caribbean community have sort of gelled a lot. And I think there's a lot of intermixing between two, a lot of shared culture and shared identity. So as much as that happens and that annoys me, I try to just take a blind eye to it because from what I can see in front of me, most of the Afro-Caribbean community is very united. So I don't worry about it too
much. Yeah.
Now, I was saying to you, Luke, just before we started, though, obviously, there are certain groups within. I guess I was kind of saying to someone the other day that like black isn't real. If you get what I mean, like it's kind of a term that's been placed on a lot of different kinds of people. But yeah, certain people obviously kind of they feel like they want to. The further they can get away from the term black, the better. And I think that's what that girl that kind of tweeted in reply to the Caribbean girl getting at the food. I think that's what she was trying to get at, basically saying that she feels like certain Jamaican people, Caribbean, I think she feels like they think they're a better black or something like that than people that are of African descent or those kinds of countries. I think that's what she's getting at. I think that is I don't necessarily think, but we were talking a little bit like you see sometimes on. I'm not going to get at the whole nation because I don't know how everyone thinks. But you see, like Somali Twitter, sometimes you see how they'll say they're not black and that kind of thing. So I guess I don't know if there's a stigma around.
But I think that's because, like you know, we spoke about this before. But I think that's because of the backlash they've had from the black community. If that makes sense, like if I was Somali, I probably would still say I was black, but I get why they wouldn't because obviously, just in the black community itself. But there was a lot of jabs taken at Somali people. Like even when all that Nella Rose thing came out and they were all like putting up old tweets from like Philly and all that lot saying stuff about Somali people, I would get why they wouldn't want to be like, I'm black now, because obviously at the time they were seen as a worse of black by other black people. But even if it was in a jokey way, like taking piss out just because you were Somali, I get why you would then differentiate yourself from being black. But yeah, I think the Caribbean African thing's weird. Like, I was watching Desmond's, you know, like the old TV show, and even in that, there's just like the ongoing joke between the African man and the Caribbean man that like, who's better? I think I personally like you said, Kobe. I think especially over the years, it's got a lot better. Like, no one I know really cares like what country or like continent you're from. But obviously, like I think even with me and you, Henry, like we make jokes about each other's Like, I'll say something, Nigeria, you'll say something about my way. It doesn't bother me. It's in a jokey way. But,
I think we do it as a joke. There's a lot some people genuinely have these views. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But you can tell they literally go to Twitter to do it. Like you say, Kobe, you're not active on it. So, like, to be fair, I feel like that's probably better for you because I feel like every other week there's just someone doing something stupid on the app. It makes no sense to me, innit? But, like, this week was just about food. But, like, what was, like, the only time I've seen it like come out really good was you know, LS 10v10 when it was Burner Boy.
I didn't receive too much.
The only time when I've actually seen Twitter when they're doing like Africa v Caribbean, like where it's not been in like any malice way, it's just like it's all been love. But other than that, every time I see a topic, if I see a Caribbean person in the bio that says something like Nigeria, I just know 9 times out of 10 the next following word is going to be negative.
Well, Nigerians.
But that's, no, as in like, say for instance, if it was a Caribbean person like had a bio that said like that girl had like Bajan and Jamaican flag.
Yeah.
If I see like a word said Nigeria, I know 9 times out of 10 there's probably going to be something negative about it, and then vice versa as well.
I think it comes from the parents. You know what I mean? I think it comes from the older generation, to be honest with that.
Yeah,
they definitely have these stronger views. Even I don't know why I do kind of, but they obviously it's the same with like I guess white people and the way they're racist. Like they get passed down, and you're not really educated on these things. You just spout this shit out that you're going to.
But I think like again, like another topic on Twitter this week was what was yesterday? I think it was, wasn't it? It was like there's a. I don't know if she was African or Caribbean, to be fair, but there's a black girl that was saying like her aunt just bought her 44th house. And like you said to me, I think you said it to me, you were saying like the whole day before in the morning, people were like screaming up, oh, like support black people, Black Pound Day.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all these like great black investors, like they're these rich millionaires. But now she said that she's got 44 houses. Everyone then automatically turned and was like, I saw someone like literally, I saw someone say, oh, I hope one of those 44 houses are being given to people that are homeless and stuff, which is mad because like there's, but I think that's even like just the black community in general. Like they only show support so much.
I think there's a lot of people that everyone in general, regardless of color, they idolize them. Like Kim Kardashian, even for example, and the ridiculous wealth that she has and Kanye West has. But when it comes to like someone that may not be in the public eye, that's well off and black. Why is that suddenly been a problem? She's so wealthy.
I think we kind of have this perspective of we're either going to be rich together or we're going to be poor together.
Yeah, true.
That mentality. And I think that's because of situations where that has been the reality. And I think you touched on something earlier, and I kind of want to go back to that, which is that black, to a degree, I would say, is not a real thing.
Mm.
And so I have a perspective from society that we're supposed to have shared experiences. I'm supposed to be roughly as wealthy as that other black guy because we're both black guys.
Yeah.
In a similar place, where I think reality is just not like that. And the reality is, if you're a black guy living in the West, you're going to be better off more than likely than someone living in perhaps Africa or the Caribbean. Not all the time, but more likely. I think even within like the UK, if you're a black guy that's living in West London, you're probably got it nicer than a black guy that's like central West London, like Kensington, Chelsea type of areas.
Yeah.
You probably got it
nicer
than someone who's going to be living in South or East London. I think that's where this comes from. We have this idea that we're supposed to have similar and equal experiences when that's just not a reality for us.
No, that's true. Yeah.
That is true.
I think
I get why people will like try to distance themselves from the word black, because that's like you said, as soon as you assign the word black to people, it's that automatic assumption that we've all had the same experience. Like the only thing that we have in common, maybe our skin colour. But other than that, like all our experience will vary, like from our heritage to what we experienced at school. To, like what jobs we're in. Like when you find the word white to people, you don't assume, well, I suppose sometimes you do, but like not automatically you assume they have the same background, especially if you look at different countries. Like I don't think a European white person has the same, like say for instance Sweden doesn't have the same experience as a white person in from the UK. But if, like you said, if I hear, like most people when they say black, if they say a Nigerian man came to the UK, they would just assume we had the same experience for our whole life.
Yeah.
So I get why themselves, like, yeah, it's nice to say you're black, but I think, yeah, I get what you guys are saying. Like there's only so far you can claim the term black before you then start claiming your heritage and other things that make you the person you are.
I like the fact that it is something that brings people together, but at the same time, what Kofi said, which is very true, it shouldn't be something that we kind of use to assume that we're all going to have the same experience, because that's just not the case, and it shouldn't be the case either. We have different expectations and different... and accept different things of each other. Like, that's one thing I don't. I like the fact that it's the unity it brings, obviously, due to obviously that everything that's gone on in the history of kind of the world. But at the same time, I think it comes down to a lot of different things as well on this topic as well. With kind of what I think, Luke, we've talked about this before as well. Like kind of what your interests are, what job you do. I think like you shouldn't have to feel like I think some people sometimes think it makes you less like black if you do black. Certain things, or your interest in that kind of thing, which shouldn't be a thing, because we are, as Kobe said, we are all different people who enjoy different things. So it definitely shouldn't be like that. But
I don't really know yet. Like, I think, like we've said this before, I don't really know we can go from there, though, because I think it's so ingrained in society just to assume all black people have the same experience. Unless we stop, like, taking digs at each other for not having the same experiences. Something as simple as food, like, you could just respect that for a different culture. You could have just said, I've never eaten this before. It doesn't look like nice. You could just say something nice like that. I mean, that's not nice, but do you know what I mean? Like, she didn't have to say what she was saying. Like, basically, it was dirty. Like, she's glad she's Caribbean, that she never had to eat something like that. But, until we as, like, a community stop taking those digs at each other, we can't then expect it from other people, if that makes sense.
Because
we still all assume we have... Yeah. Because like you said, like, we, even as black people, we all just assume that we should have the same experience, like, regardless of where you're from.
It's the same with, like, as I said earlier with, I think, when we're talking about kind of what the empowering thing about Kamala Harris as well, like, obviously, it's good to see different representation, because otherwise, I think a lot of people assume you've got, like, maybe not all the time, but in certain communities, that you've either got to be playing sport or you've got to be doing music because of that's kind of all the representation we see. So it is important to diversify, and that's what you see with this. She's bought a 44th property, whatever it is. That's just an example of a black woman that's decided to, she's successful in property, clearly. But I don't know why, rather than celebrating that, people are getting that. I don't really understand that, but it is what it is.
Because I don't think the girl even, like, the way she said it, she didn't really say it as a brag. She was just like, oh, my aunt just went and bought her 44th property. Like, she's doing mad well at the moment or something like that. But she was congratulated, but then, so, like Kobe said, I think it's very much like we're all in it together. So, like, we're either all wealthy or we tear those that aren't down. Like, tear those that are down, because it just didn't make sense to me how you could then say, like, because if it was a white person that said it, you'd be like, oh, that's just filthy rich. But you wouldn't then say, oh, I hope you've given some of those to, like, charity and all that stuff.
I don't think in the tweet she even mentioned anything about blackness, to be honest. I think it was literally just a tweet saying,
she never said that her aunt could be like married to her like uncle that's black and her aunt might be white. Do you know what I mean? Like, she never said nothing about race. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's automatically back to that.
Instead of like what people should have been asking is like, oh, what does your aunt do? Like, how does she make her money? Do you know what I mean? Like, you should be asking the sensible questions. Yeah. But instead, they were just like finding ways to like discredit her aunt or make her aunt seem like what she was doing, like her success was like a negative, which obviously I think we all just agree that's not a negative to have money. Like, yeah, what you're doing with the money might not be what we would do with the money, but it doesn't matter. Because realistically, we're all on that goal to get rich, aren't we? Like, so unless you start asking the right questions, like, how does your aunt make the money? Like, oh, what does your aunt do? Oh, when did she start investing in property? Like, what was your aunt's advice? Like, yeah, the girl might not have been able to answer it, but she also couldn't answer some of the questions that they were asking. Either they were just asking the negative questions instead of find out how to make that same wealth.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I do hear that. But they don't. I think a lot of people on Twitter just like the outrage. To be honest, all the time, they like our like scandals and
arguments. But I think that's just true in like all walks of life, though, isn't it? Like, I was reading the other day is like the Charlemagne the God's book, and he was saying like a lot of people don't take the opportunities to ask the right questions, such as that, like. You find out how someone's got there, but you just want to know how the easy route there. You don't ask the questions that you need to know to be successful. You ask the questions of like, oh, why are you successful? But that's not actually asking like, oh, what was the process to get into being successful? I think that, especially, I'm not even just as a community, I think that's just in terms of like everybody. But you see someone that's wealthy, and instead of trying to figure out like what the blueprint was to get to that point, you automatically either tear them down or try and find out their shortcut, like, shortcut to it, so you essentially take away from their achievement.
I think they enjoy negativity, and they prefer. I don't. I think it's within our DNA as human beings to not kind of enjoy seeing.
I think it's comforting, isn't it? Like, because like they're where you want to be, but you're not there, so it's comforting to as like a collective to all tear them down. Because I think they probably started off with one person saying like, "Oh, I hope your aunt's." Like, oh, that's disgusting how rich your aunt is. And then someone else saw that and was like, oh, cool, someone else thinks the same as me. It's comforting to see that, like, oh, yeah, what this person's doing is wrong, when realistically there was nothing wrong with what she was doing. But obviously, as a collective, it was comforting to find that, oh, there's other people like me that aren't successful that think this
is
wrong.
Yeah, I hear that. That makes sense. But yeah, on that note anyway, I think that the main message of today is mind the business that pays you and be a good person. Thank you, Kobe, for joining us today. I appreciate that.
As I say, shout out, Kobe.
Go follow him on socials. They'll be in the description below. That's another episode on record.